So I wanted to start with at a very high level to look at the business model. GenSource distinguishes itself by the uniqueness of its business model. Recently, we've come to call that our three C's, those being choice, cleaner, and cheaper. Choice is all about providing an alternate source of supply to the potash industry. Cleaner, of course, is the environmental benefits of using the technology that we will be using. And cheaper also comes down to the financial benefits to using the methods that we plan to use. In the bigger picture, GenSource is here to be a new independent supplier of potash, albeit a small one in the industry. And we'll do that through vertical integration. That vertical integration is supported by the idea of being small and scalable. Being small is important in order to support the vertical integration aspect of the business plan. Being small is not so easy in potash, as you all may know. That's why it takes innovative technologies and techniques to support the ability to be small. And coming with that, of course, is environmentally responsible nature of the situation, with no salt tailings on surface, no brine ponds, therefore no brine control structures, no contamination of surface groundwater, and no centuries-long environmental liability that goes with the typical potash mine. That's our business model in a nutshell. 2016 has been a very significant year for GenSource. We've made a lot of progress on many items that we've been working on for several years. So 2016 saw the uptake of a number of our new approaches and some success on a number of fronts. First off, in the spring, we started discussions with Yancoal Canada in our asset purchase agreement. That involved the purchase of two KPs, they're called in Saskatchewan. Those are potash exploration permits. Those KPs were to be converted into leases, which of course they now have been. So we purchased two leases. We purchased geological data shot and obtained by Yancoal back in 2012. Those were two wells and core from those two wells, as well as about 110 kilometers worth of 2D seismic that was acquired over these two lease areas. An additional feature of the APA, or the Asset Purchase Agreement, was that Yancoal would become an off-taker and would negotiate a definitive off-take agreement for 100% of the plant production from one of our small and scalable facilities. So that equates to 250,000 tons per year. And at the end, it took several months to accomplish all this, but as of October, the APA formally closed with a definitive offtake agreement in place, signed by both parties for the future purchase of 250,000 tons per year for 5 years, with extensions available past the initial 5 years. The two permits converted to leases, and those leases transferred to the name of GenSource, and the geological data, of course, was transferred. Ownership was transferred to GenSource as well. In accomplishing the APA, we instigated an initial geological investigation where we defined an initial 43-101 resource on the Vanguard area. Vanguard is a name that we made up. It was an appropriate name for the type of mine that we're planning to do here. But it's our name for these two properties. And the two properties, of course, are KL-244 and KL-245. We followed up the initial resource report with a PEA. That's a preliminary economic assessment. That's the first look at projects, what a project could look like at Vanguard and the economics of that project. We made the two required payments as part of the APA, and we negotiated and finally signed the offtake agreement in late September. So the APA fully closed sort of the third week in October. Immediately following that, and in fact before it formally closed, we started to work on the feasibility study and a drilling program, the planning for a drilling program. So the drilling program kicked off mid-November. It is a two-well program. The two wells will are sited close by one of the 2012 wells to give us a three-well pattern that will allow us to upgrade the resource that was defined in the summertime. We're hoping to end up with a measured and indicated resource in this area sufficient to support a mine plan for the initial Vanguard project. First hole is complete. We have a news release out on that as of December the 12th. That was completed successfully. No injuries or even reportable incidents during that time. 63 meters of core was recovered, all in good shape. That core is now being slabbed, logged, sampled, and will be off to SRC for assay and analysis in the coming weeks. Second hole is underway. We spudded, I believe, late last night on the second hole, so they're drilling ahead on hole number two. Also, before actually the APA closed, we began our feasibility study. So this was built upon the PEA completed in the spring, and it's with an independent engineering firm in Saskatoon, supplemented by GenSource's own expertise in the selective solution mining and processing areas. That kicked off in early October. Planned completion is likely April 2017. So it's a major undertaking to complete a detailed feasibility study for the first Vanguard project. And this, of course, will be the what will become a standard. We actually call it a module of 250,000 tons. It's meant to be a very well understood, repeatable, and controllable module that can be put in time and time again with cost certainty, design certainty, and therefore very little risk to allow easy scalability for these projects. So that's the feasibility study. It's currently staffed and in full motion as we speak here today. Of late, late in the year here, just a couple weeks ago now, we announced an MOU for our first joint venture because our basic business model is to implement joint ventures to execute each one of these little projects. What we see is that the Vanguard area has the potential for several projects, and each of those projects will be operated, owned and operated by an independent joint venture, of which GenSource will be a joint venture partner in each of them. Each joint venture will undertake its own work, have its own mining area, and construct its own mill, produce its own product that is destined for its own market. The other joint venture partner in each of these joint ventures will be what we've started to refer to as the market partner. So that's the group that, like our first joint venture here, with the ESSEL Group, Middle East, EGME, we call them for short, that want the product, are looking to market that product into their specific market area, and have the capability to bring financing to the project. So we're very excited to agree to our first joint venture in an MOU. It's a non-binding MOU. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along. But with EGME, we have a group that is interested in the product, has a strategic interest in becoming a producer in the potash industry, and has the balance sheet and the investment savvy to bring financing to the project. So ultimately, even though there's a couple of steps in the process, there will end up with a 70% EGME, 30% GenSource joint venture ownership in this first joint venture, and that will be accomplished through the financing 100% by EGME. So that won't require GenSource as a small public company to raise financing. The idea here is that each party needs to play to their strengths. GenSource's strength is, number one, its land position, the resource that we have in the ground, And number two, the technical expertise and the know-how that we bring to execute these small-scale selective dissolution projects. EGME brings with them the ability to bring financing to the project and market offtake and marketing to their specifically targeted market area. So we're very excited about this. We're moving now into discussions around business structure and negotiation of joint venture agreements or shareholder agreements, whatever the appropriate structure is. And we hope to have that those complete and ready to announce very early in the new year. The idea is that GenSource, of course, will vend into the joint venture project area within Vanguard, and that will be the first of, as I said, we hope many or at least several joint ventures to go forward in the area. And we believe financially it is the best approach for shareholders of GenSource to take this this joint venture approach, where we're not trying to finance 100% of these projects ourselves, thereby diluting our existing shareholder base quite severely. So we see it as very positive business and technically wise, but also financially and from a shareholder perspective to be a very positive positive outcome, a very positive direction to be heading in into. At the same time, we continue our discussions with several other groups. If you've read our news releases over the months and years, you know that we have a couple different groups in Brazil that we are having these same discussions with, as well as others in India and potentially China at the same time. So those activities continue with hopes of starting additional joint ventures and fulfilling our higher level business plan. So our current status in all of that has been a very busy year, but our current status as we stand here today is detailed feasibility study ongoing, nearing probably about the midpoint of the feasibility study, heading for an April 2017 completion. The drilling is about halfway complete. We hope to be done by the end of December here, and we'll follow that up with a 43-101 resource update based on the new data collected. And that, of course, will feed into the feasibility study. And once the feasibility study is complete, that resource will be converted to an actual reserve. We are in the process of following up the environmental and regulatory work that's necessary for a project such as this with the Saskatchewan Ministry of the Environment. That work is well underway with our consultants and the ministry. We are in discussions with the ESSEL group to define business structures and agree to the definitive agreements required to move the joint venture from MOU to reality, and continue also, as I just mentioned, to advance our discussions with other potential joint venture partners to fully develop our business model of there being several of these small operations running within the Vanguard area. That's the current status, and the most of our 6 month outlook was contained in that discussion as well. Once we complete the feasibility study in April, there's always a time of review and sometimes an iteration or two to fine tune things once it's complete. And at that point, we plan to have the environmental approval come together in that same timing, Q2 2017, as well as the construction financing organized for Q2 2017. All of this in our planning process is about taking advantage, to the extent that we can, of the construction season next year to begin earthworks and procurement activity to kick the project into the construction phase and get some of the long delivery equipment on order so so that we can do the bulk of the construction in 2018 and be ready for an early to mid 2019 production startup timing. That's the big picture. That's what we're working towards with all the work that we've done to date here in 2016. Receive a number of questions sent in by email. I have answered a couple of them in my general discussion earlier on, and Rob has dealt with a couple of them in his discussion just now as well. One that came up a couple of times was with respect to the joint venture with Essel Group and our confidence level in that in light of what we've seen elsewhere in other potash projects where MOUs or potential partnerships have ended up falling apart. So I guess Essel Group, we have done our due diligence, and we believe Essel Group is number one, strategically committed to what they're doing, and number two, and very importantly, is they are financially capable of doing what it is they need to do, and we need them to do. So we're confident on both those fronts. With respect to deals falling apart, we've seen a lot of that in Saskatchewan Potash, not just Saskatchewan Potash all over the world in recent years. And I would submit to you, happy to discuss, it's always a good discussion to have, but I would submit that those deals have fallen apart because of the project, not because of the financial partner that's been involved in those projects. We've had people groups involve very large companies in Africa, large companies in Thailand, in Saskatchewan, all over, that have ended up backing away from deals, and it's because of the projects themselves. If the project that you are planning to invest in is not sound, then you're not going to carry forward with it, and that's just the way it is. The largest mining companies in the world have all been active in Saskatchewan, have all invested some great sums of money into project development, and all of them have so far backed away, and they backed away because the projects themselves are not sound. And I believe that's true in almost every instance. So the way I answer that question is we've done our due diligence to know that Essel Group is strategically committed, financially capable, and now they have found a project in Vanguard that actually makes sense. It makes sense from a potash industry supply perspective, from a business model perspective, and from a project economics perspective. And in all cases where deals have fallen apart or failed to materialize, it's the project that has failed. The development of the project has failed, not the financial partner. So that's my view on that. We've also had one question that showed up regarding carbon tax in Saskatchewan, and we haven't done any financial analysis on the impact of a carbon tax. We are a very efficient operation using the systems and techniques that we have, but we do consume natural gas, so we will be a carbon emitter. There's no question about that. To what extent a carbon tax of $10, $20, $30 a ton may impact our operation, we haven't gone through those numbers just yet. Saskatchewan, from a potash-specific taxation perspective, is the highest-cost jurisdiction in the world. We have royalties and potash production taxes that are very, very high, but that is compensated for by the richness of the resource, the easy access to infrastructure, and the very stable and supportive political and regulatory climate in Saskatchewan. So it's a balance. Adding additional taxes, nobody likes to see, but we will wait for the reality to come in before we make any reaction on that front. So I think that kind of covers all the questions between specific answers here, as well as answers in the update and the financing dialogue there. So I think that covers our agenda for today.